Hello and welcome back to another episode of Archer, a new season, season 6, episode 1, The Holdout, written by Adam Reed. This was a good cohesive storyline. It even had some heart, and it had one of the funniest Cheryl moments, along with a new office possible romance. A lot going on in this episode, but I really enjoyed it. Before we jump into our review, wherever you listen to this podcast, Podbean, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever good podcasts can be found, go down to the rating section. Leave some stars, leave a review. My social media will be there as well. Like, share, and subscribe. And if you want to send feedback, blackercouch@gmail.com. It's official. We are legit, no longer ISIS, but we work for the CIA. It has been 6 weeks since Archer has found out that he is a father, a point of contention that causes him to run off to Cobra Whiskey and Ladyboy, something Lana very much knows that's what he does in moments of crisis and avoiding responsibility, even though he screams at her that, "You don't know me.
I don't even want to play this game with you anymore."
He was adding extra money on for them to be genetically female, and I'm not sure if either were, but I digress. They're given a mission from the CIA to go to a crash site, retrieve some information or the computer and blow it up. Now, I think this show is written somewhere along the lines of 1970-ish. It feels after the Vietnam War. I don't know why I got that reference, but clearly things are still a little after the, you know, still in the somewhat Cold War phase, I suppose. Because it wasn't the Cold War of the 1980s. What I'm trying to articulate poorly is that the timeline of the show is starting to shorten in ways that I didn't put a lot of thought into it the first time around watching. While he goes into the jungle on this mission, he runs into a Japanese soldier named Sato Kentaro, who he just calls Ken, who has been here since the Japanese War. He is not aware of the atomic bombings. What did Archer say? "I got some bad news and some worse news."
Sorry.
This interaction ended up becoming rather poignant for Archer because this man has been away from his life, his wife and daughter all this time and would do anything to be with them. But he's chosen to defend his country, and all the while he is unaware of the actions that have happened to his country. Now, no one's saying Japan is guilt-free of the acts of war in which they started, but I would say that there was a huge debate out there about the response with not one, but two bombings of Japan, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And he ends up helping Archer in his mission so that he can help him in getting home, even though he doesn't feel as if his family would be there, which leads to a teary-eyed moment when Archer is just able to, due to technology and the benefits of technology, what did he say? He's like, computers are smaller now. I think you guys did that. Where he's able to find their location in a village. It was a little bit much, but still, the network of phones. And he gets his wife on the line and he's able to talk to her, even though he thinks that maybe he shouldn't go home and he should stay on the island because nothing is waiting there for him. He also traps Archer in a in a pit because he still believes that they're the enemy, which I will say was cause for Archer to be crankier than he was, and he was rather patient when his foot was impaled by a very large piece of wood that definitely had feces on it.
That's nasty.
They're forced to work together due to the communist insurgency, which he believes are the enemy. He knows are the enemy and their common enemy at this time, because how it is with Japan, Russia, and America. One minute we're friends, the next minute we're not, and then things just are left on weird terms, which is exactly how Archer equates his relationship to Lana. It's like, we're friends, we're kind of enemies, and now we're friends again, sorta. Mallory is the one that suggested Archer's goop, even though Mallory chastises Lana for having a child without his permission. And that is a relevant point. Granted, if you go to the sperm bank and you request, hey, this guy is 6 foot tall, blah, 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 the only thing you don't know is their name. And you're not talking to them every single last day. So no, yeah, I can't excuse Lana's behavior here. It is a significant breach of privacy, intimacy. And now, despite his desire to parent the shit out of that kid, as he says, he still barely, as he himself knows, is taking care of himself. He even asked for Woodhouse eggs and admits at the end, things just work out for me. I kind of take that for granted, which is true because he didn't even read the dossier because he refused to do so. And he was upset because there was no mini beverages on an airplane, even though it's not that type of airplane. So they both end up getting the information he needs. He passes out due to Mike and Vikes because it's candy plus pain medicine. Hilarious. Back at the office, I don't know why Mallory would put Pam and Cheryl in charge of the $10 million renovation, since she had a very specific vision in mind and it wasn't Japanese whorehouse. Ray, she wanted all white. So why didn't you decide to, maybe because Ron got in her head? Is she still with Ron? Because I saw that big ass bling on her finger. And he definitely told her to stop micromanaging. But this is why she micromanages. When they open, at first, the office is all white and pristine. It looks updated. Someone yelled out, I dreamed of this day. Except it's a hologram. They redid everything exactly as it was. And while it's not Brett's blood, it is represented Brett's blood stain when he died, right there next to the desk that he died at. The only new thing is Milton, which is a fax machine that makes toast. I forgot about Milton. And we find out that Pam, who's gotten the weight back, has made a secret room that you can only access via your eyeballs, retina scan, and it's a jacuzzi where Krieger's already in there with two bottles of milk for some reason. And she takes off her clothes. They did throw out there if this is our Krieger or not by him not knowing Pam's name, but also it's Pam. That sounded mean. But she says, look, everyone's got holes to fill. Some people fill it with work. Some people fill it with, what did she say, sex or something? Some people fill it with between meal snacks, liquor, and the therapist's cock. I tried to read what was on her back. It said, for the angel of death spread his wings on the blast, breath in the face of the foe as he passed. Then something the eyes of the sleeper waxed deadly and chill. Didn't catch the rest of that. Once heaved and forever grew still. He's like, I was looking at your pubes. Yeah, it's a lightning bolt. It could use a touch up. The letters are supposed to say TCB. Taking care of business. The mission is very surprisingly successful. And even Archer points out, I would have been successful at the mission if you hadn't attacked me. Even though I told you we were not enemies. Sneak attack. Typical. He ends up coming back home with a cane and a limp. And he tells her, I didn't just sashay back in here. I limped in here. Came back with sepsis, crabs. Both she and Mallory, I mean Lana, are disgusted. I like when the phone call was going on and Archer's like, is that Lana? And Lana's like, is that Archer? And they're both like, let me talk to him. Thought that was really cute. Mallory and Archer both wanting to change the name Abigine because Mallory wants it changed to her name. And I did like how both Lana and Archer unanimously took a front at Mallory telling their daughter to shut up when she cried.
I think the fuck not, you trick ass bitch.
I correct myself. Milton is not a fax machine. It's a copier shaped toaster robot. Thought this was a really good entry into the season, so I gave it a 9.8 out of 10. Really enjoyed it. If you have thoughts on the next episode, blackercouch@gmail.com, you know what to do. Otherwise, until the next time, peace, hair grease, and blacker magic.